comes to mind when you think of theater? You might think of lighting or set design or costumes, all aspects that meet the eye. But what if sight wasn't the guiding principle? What does a story sound like? What does a story feel like that isn't centered around the visual? Artist and academic Devin Healy explores just that in her new play, Rainbow on Mars, which has been playing in Toronto this month and is on until August 20th. She conveys a world of her own, a performative enactment of blindness. Healy is an assistant professor of disability studies at the University of Toronto. She is the playwright of Rainbow on Mars, but also performs as the main character, Iris.
An optical illusion. At the center of the pupil, as though we're looking from above, is her face staring directly at us.
Hello, you.
Her deep brown hair is swept up into a high bun atop her head, with brown bangs, or fringe, dusting the top of her brown eyebrows. Her look and smile
tells of a world,
more of a smirk, radiates a devilish intrigue.
What's there isn't, and what isn't is.
She has something to tell us.
How shall we begin?
Below the eye.
The play is inspired by Healy's own experience with blindness. Healy was born sighted, but began to lose her vision more than a decade ago.
That feel of not knowing, paired with this image of someone who's quite vulnerable moving in the world, that was what was given to me by my culture. And that's what I thought blindness was.
I'm a sighted person myself, so as much as I wanted to understand and interpret what blindness is, I couldn't rely on my own perspective alone. So I consulted Amanda. Amanda Shakarchi is an arts and culture reporter at Met Radio. She interviews bands, artists, and creatives on a weekly basis here, but she's also a blind artist herself. We went out to attend the performance together so we could compare experiences.
Do we get a good view?
We have a very good view.
Nice.
I would say, in my sighted opinion, because like there's not much distance between us and where the stage is. It is intermission.
Yes.
Currently, what are our first impressions?
Like, I feel like I'm watching a film in the way that they describe what's going on. Like, you were into that landscape. If it's the cave scene or the forest scene, like, you feel like you're mentally there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Afterwards, Amanda was able to speak with the playwright herself, Devin Healy, about the production and learn more about what developing a play about blindness actually looks like. She joins me in studio now. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, thanks for having me, Mia.
Amanda, what comes to mind when you think of theater? What was different about this piece?
This was different because usually when I watch a play, it's always intriguing from a blindness perspective to know what's happening visually on stage, what the costumes look like, what the music is like, what types of shoes are they wearing if it's a ballet. But in this case, I was more interested in following the story itself. And that's because the play was written with accessibility in mind, and having a blind creator like Healy being the one to implement these practices really added to how accessibility was at the center of this production.
Yeah, Rainbow on Mars not only centers blindness, but a new stagecraft practice has emerged with it. This is immersive descriptive audio, as Healy calls it. It is a creation of Healy's, and it's the first time it's made its premiere on stage. Now, this is different from the audio description you'd hear in a film or a TV show. How did Healy describe it?
Okay, like with TV shows and films and with regular audio description, it's usually what we are physically seeing. So for example, if someone is kicking, it'll say a kick. Or if a character is pouring a glass of water, it'll be like they pour a cup of water and place the cup in front of them. Here's how Healy describes the audio description you're probably used to hearing.
When I've gone to the theater or any other performances of film or what have you where audio description is there, while I appreciate audio description and think that there are so many creative ways of exploring this art form, I was always left a little unsatisfied because it understood me as a blind person as needing to be filled in on what catches the eye of sighted people. So it always came from a perspective that sightedness was the paramount way of receiving whatever creative work I was attending, and that I needed to be filled in, that I was missing something. And I left feeling unsatisfied because the wisdom, the creativity, the presence of blindness was pushed to the side and really ignored. And I thought, how can this be? How can it be that blindness exists all around us and is such a powerful storyteller, and yet we don't engage with it? And so I wanted to write a show that was from the perspective, or that engaged rather, the perceptions of blindness. And that's where immersive descriptive audio came in.
And this is different than that.
Yes, because people often think when it comes to visually describing, they think that we're missing out on what's being seen, when actually there's more to it than just telling us what people look like or what they're physically doing. So this type of audio kind of challenges this perspective, and it makes us think deeper, considering blindness differently. Here's Healy again.
Immersive descriptive audio isn't a description of a performance. It is a performance. That description doesn't privilege the visual as what ought to be expressed, but rather the movement, the energy, the emotional story that's happening within a performer as they speak, as they move.
If the audio description is part of the narrative, how do you not get confused with who is saying what?
With immersive audio, it's kind of like another character in the story. This is how Healy explains it.
If you understand yourself as blind, there's so much that we're engaged in with ourselves when we're walking down the street or moving through our home. There's this kind of intricate choreography and dialogue that we're having with ourselves in the world that I wanted to share.
In the show, Healy uses this internal dialogue as a way to convey her experience of blindness. Let's hear what that sounds like.
When the show opens, we're in this very dark, cold, silent place. And as the theater, the playing space awakens, so too does the description. And so audience members hear this voice, and it's the voice of one of the beings that are awakening. And we get a description of the feel of what's happening. A beam of light cuts through the darkness and finds a resting place. These beings are awakening, and we hear groans and moans. And there's kind of this delicate balance between describing the mood, the tenor and tone of the space, and then also slipping into the actors and their performance.
Healy creatively portrays the feelings, emotions, and thoughts of the characters in a way that enables the audience to visualize and understand what's going on while not feeling overwhelmed by the extraneous details.
Right. But while the production doesn't prioritize the visual, it also doesn't exclude the sighted. There were many visual elements to the show as well. The audience was completely surrounding the stage, creating a very intimate environment and breaking that fourth wall with the actors. There were 19 performers with different expressions of blindness and sight. The show is partnered with the National Ballet of Canada. The ballet dancers added to the performance as extensions of the characters.
That's what's so special about this play. It's that there is something for everyone. Nate Bitton is a visually impaired co-director of the show, but he also plays a character. He describes the process of embodying all these different sensory elements. He's an award-winning combat director. We also got a chance to speak with him post-opening night.
It's very difficult to fit all the words and sounds together in a way that's not just a jumble and that tells a clear story. We want a very rich soundscape. Our sound designer, Heidi Chan, is amazing and created all this beautiful music, these beautiful sounds, and then you also have this voice doing the immersive descriptive audio, and then you have all the characters on stage, and finding the flow and the rhythm of all of those sounds was a very big challenge. It was hard. It took a long time for us to find that balance, which I hope and I feel like we did it fairly successfully. And I think it's, you know, it's really tough to make sure that the audience is following along with this story.
When you become suddenly handicapped, all at once a lifetime of work must be forgotten, and there's new work for a new life to be learned. It takes courage to fight your way back to the world outside. It takes courage.
Both Healy and Bitten talk about wanting to break away from certain stereotypes. That clip you just heard is from a fundraising campaign in the 1950s for disabled children. What perceptions do you think people have about blindness?
Usually when portraying blind people in media, we usually see the cane, the dark sunglasses, and it's usually told through an angle of sympathy, making the blind character someone who is weak.
As we contemplate partial blindness and the blind, we realize more fully the importance of good vision.
But Healy is breaking down this misconception with Rainbow on Mars.
You know, when maybe you've done this when it seems like something we all do when we're kids, when you kind of cover your eyes and play those trust exercises of walking around the room or having somebody follow you, and you just get this sense of disorientation and confusion, and your hands are kind of out groping in the air to find some sort of stability, and this kind of fear builds up within you until you remove the covering from your eyes, and then suddenly you hold on to sight even tighter. That feel of not knowing, paired with this image of someone who's quite vulnerable moving in the world, that was what was given to me by my culture. And that's what I thought blindness was. And the more and more I meet people and talk about blindness, they're really struck and sometimes don't believe that I'm blind and question me. And I can feel the suspicion because I don't match what they think they know blindness is. And that's the imaginary, that's the image, that's the feel that I want to disturb. Because it was really powerful for me when I first began to notice blindness. And it prevented me from opening myself up to blindness sooner. And that's what I want to disturb. I want to bring complexity and excitement and beauty and nuance to blindness, and have it be a story that we can't pin down.
What are Healy's plans to expand this practice past this production alone? Could this transform or take over Describe Video or video description altogether?
Yeah, I would love to see this mainstream. And Healy's got a couple other projects in the works. She's got plans to bring the new practice to other stages in the fall outside of Canada. And her hope is that immersive descriptive audio thrives alongside audio description and becomes its own art form, but reminds us that blind artistry must be from blind artists.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening on Met Radio, CJTM at 1280 AM. Amanda Shikarchi is a producer on this episode. Additional music and sound for this episode was provided by the Outside the March Theatre Company and the National Ballet of Canada, the producers behind Rainbow on Mars. This is Mia Johnson for the Local Journalism Initiative.